How on a Torah level, a human being or a vessel can only contract tumma from an ava tumma, something that is a principle of tumma. Now, the ultimate principle of tumma, we said yesterday, anybody happen to remember, the avi avos tumma is the dead body itself. Now, something which is in contact with a dead body is considered an ava tumma, is a principle of tumma, and somebody who has leprosy, tsaras, somebody who's having an unusual bodily flow, what we call a zav, a dead animal carcass, a nevela, a dead sheretz, all of this is considered avatumah. Anything that comes into contact with avatumah, this is where we started talking about calculus, is the first derivative. That's what we call a rishon latumah. Now that can impact anything, including human beings, including vessels. Now once you're dealing with a first derivative of tumah, so that can only on a Torah level pass on tumah to something which is food. Yeah. That is a great question. Do we consider a chicken the same as an animal? And the answer is no. The answer is no. That's a very good question. Okay? Excellent. Excellent question.
You mean it's in another category.
What's that? It's in another category. The only way, believe it or not, to contract tumma from a kosher bird would be by swallowing it by beis habliya if it wasn't properly shechted. But let's be very clear, Isaac. Once an animal undergoes shechita, whether you're talking about a domesticated animal or a chicken, it's no longer subject to tumas nevela. That's what shechita, see, we think about shechita, you know, the ritual slaughtering of the animal, as making the animal permissible for eating. But it also does another thing, it removes any kind of ritual impurity, tumma associated with it. So Isaac was thinking about being in contact with, you know, chicken. The chicken that you and I encounter is presumably shechted chicken. It's properly shechted. If it wasn't, then it could theoretically be a source of tumma on consumption. Okay? Assuming it happened to come from a kosher bird that just wasn't shechted properly. But that's really an outlier. That's for a supplemental course. That's for a seminar. Okay? We're still working on the fundamentals over here. So we talked about the first derivative. When the first derivative creates a second derivative, that's in the world of Ochlin. It could create a third derivative in the world of Truma and a fourth derivative in the realm of Kachim. Then yesterday we introduced a fancy rule called the integral rule, that if you're dealing with mashkin, if you're dealing with liquids, the rabbis decreed, this is all rabbinic by the way, that if it came into contact with your hands, which are decreed a second degree of Tuma, a sheni latumah, that the mashkin would become a rishon latumah. So that's what we call an integral calculus when you go from a second degree back up to the first degree. Okay, so Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to have the following dispute. Let's say everybody knows when you do netilas edayim, you wash your hands, you wipe your hands in that towel. So there could be some liquid in that towel. Now let's remember, let's be very clear, that even if that liquid comes into contact with the sheni latumah, you would think normally would be go from a second degree to a third degree. That's the derivative. But this is the integral rule of tumma. So what happens? If your hands weren't properly purified and they came into contact with that liquid would become not a shlishi, but a rishon. It goes up a level, okay? So that's very important. That's what we called the integral rule of tumma yesterday. That is all rabbinic. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to have a dispute. Where should a person place a towel that they're using? And again, they're wiping their hands after doing a tilas adayim. Now their hands are purified. Where should they put the towel that can presumably still have some liquid on it? And remember, that liquid, it poses a clear and present danger. Because if there's anything tameh around and it comes into contact with that liquid is again going to become a rishon latumah. And a rishon latumah has the capacity to conduct tumah, not just to truma or kachim, but has the capacity to conduct tumah to even regular foodstuffs, to regular chulin, and render it a sheni latumah. So here comes Beis Shammai's position. Remember, we always study Beis Shammai first, because that's the way that Beis Hillel studied it. Beis Hillel always allowed Beis Shammai to go first. In baseball terms, they were always the road team. Beis Shammai omrim mikaneach yadav b'mapa. You should wipe your hands in that towel, presuming there's going to be some liquid on that towel. Umanicha al hashochan. And better to put it on the table itself. See, Beis Shammai were operating with the following premise, that you could not use a table that had already contracted tumma, because at that point, there's a great risk. Because if a table, let's say, is a sheni latumah, and a kohen is eating at that table, let's say they're eating truma, that truma can then become a shlishi latumah, a third degree tumma, and if you eat truma, which is tumma, you just violated a Torah level principle. So Beis Shammai was assuming that you could not use such a table. And they say, if you put it on your seat, on what we call the keses, on the pillow, that keses could be tameh. Again, the kesis, which is tuma, so you say it's a first degree tuma. Well, we can't do anything here, but remember the integral rule of tuma, that if it comes into contact with something which is fluid, with something which is mashkin, it can render those mashkin, which are in the towel, you dried your hands in the towel, it can render that a rish on the tuma. That towel is then going to come into contact with your hands, and instead of your hands being purified, your hands are going to come shni in the tuma, and that's considered eating biyadayim misuavos. You're not supposed to eat with your hands while they're tuma. So you would have washed your hands before, but only to reconduct tuma to your hands. That's the position of Beis Shammai. So they say better to put it on the table than to put it onto the shulchan, and we assume the table is purified. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel says no. There's no presumption that the table isn't tummy. You know why? Because we're not so worried about a table which is tummy. Kohanim is reason hate. We assume that the Kohanim are very scrupulous, they're very fastidious, they pay very careful attention to their truma and the kachim that they're eating. So it could very well be that the table is a sheni latumma. Now follow this. If the table is a sheni latumma, and the table comes into contact with the napkin in which you're wiping your hands, that napkin has fluid on it. What does it then do to that fluid? It renders that fluid a rishon latumma, and that rishon latumma is going to come into contact. Forget about Kohanim's reasoning, but once you have a fluid, which is a rishon on the table, then regular foodstuffs, regular chulin, truma, kachim, don't even have to worry about that, but regular foodstuffs, regular chulin, can become tamei. And that's a real problem, because to be metame, regular ochel, now again, there's no iser in terms of becoming a tamei person, but let's say a person is used to eating chulin al taras hakodesh, normally they don't eat things that are tamei, or just in general, they may not become aware that they're tamei, and then they'll go to the Beis HaMikdash. So in any event, in that situation, there's a really legitimate possibility, according to Beis Hillel, since there is no iser against eating on a table, which is sheni l'tuma, so that's why Beis Hillel says you're better off putting it on the seat. They happen to admit, though, that Beis Shammai is absolutely correct. If the seat is tuma, the seat will conduct tuma to this towel in which you washed your hands. That towel can have liquids in it. The integral rule of tuma would apply. Instead of becoming a derivative, it would become an integral. It would become a rishon l'tuma. It would conduct tuma to your hands, and you would be eating biyadayim misuavos. But the Beis Hillel said that's better than the alternative. So you have to choose between two evils here. Either you could eat with your hands, which are yadayim misuavos, yadayim which are shtim l'tuma, which are second degree tuma, or you could risk something which really could implicate a Torah level principle of conducting tuma to ochlin, which is a sheni l'tuma. So Beis Hillel said better to do that than better to put it on the kesis than to put it on the shulchan. So that concludes our brief little mini lesson in tuma and tara, the derivative and the integral rules of tuma and tara. It's a fascinating thing. It's really one of these great examples for having studied a totally different discipline. This would be very hard to explain if you hadn't studied calculus, but having that language is really, really helpful. Again, it's a great example of how sometimes studying disciplines outside of Torah can shed a great deal of light of Torah and the principles of calculus. Like I say, derivatives and integrals are very, very helpful in terms of understanding the fundamentals of tuma and tahara.